Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, former Navy Secretary and U.S. Senator Jim Webb on his life and times, from fighting in Vietnam to refusing to have his picture taken with President Bush because of the Iraq War. WNYC art critic Deborah Solomon on the Kara Walker exhibition, a commentary on American history, now on display at the Domino Sugar Factory and mostly made out of sugar. And 101 great things about life in New York. We will compare a 1976 New York Times list to one that you'll help us make today. But we begin with New York City Comptroller Scott Stringer, who is about to exercise his considerable clout as a McDonald's company shareholder to vote no on the CEO's pay package, the reason to protest low wages for regular McDonald's workers. Controller Stringer, welcome back to WNYC.
Great to be on the show, Brian.
And you know, I'll bet most New York City taxpayers and employees didn't know they owned stock in McDonald's. Remind us how it is that we do.
Well, you know, we are a $150 billion pension fund, and we invest in thousands of companies, and we have over 2 million shares in McDonald's. And part of my role as a fiduciary of this pension fund is to make sure that we are investing in companies that have superior long-term performance and that we can create a sustainable corporate value of the companies we invest in. So part of my work is about not just protesting worker pay, but also getting increased value for our pension fund.
And for those of us who are New York City taxpayers like myself, but not city employees, is this our money too?
Well, yes, because part of what we do from time to time is ask the New York City budget to make up shortfalls in the pension fund. So everybody in New York City should feel part of this pension fund. And I'm proud to tell you that we've done an excellent job since taking office and working to create value for the pension fund, making sure returns are beyond our 7% actuarial target, so the city doesn't have to foot the bill and that we are actually becoming more solvent by the day.
These millions of shares that the city pension funds own, what percentage of all company stock is that? Do you happen to know?
Well, you know, it sounds like a lot, right? But most of our investment of Fortune 500 companies, for example, our share in those companies is less than 0.5%. So we really can't dictate to a company as to what their policy should be, but we can work with other shareholders, large public pension funds and the like, to make sure that we're looking at some of their policies to ensure that they're looking at the long-term value of the company. And that's why aligning pay with superior long-term performance is critical for the value of our own pension fund.
So what's the issue, and what exactly is this vote you plan to make tomorrow?
Well, the bottom line is there's a fundamental problem with the ways in which many companies pay their executives and how they pay their workers. For too many CEOs, it's heads I win, tails I win. The result has been an ever-escalating CEO pay, regardless of performance. And this is undermining morale and productivity at a time in which workers, and especially those who work in low-wage industries, have seen their real income stagnate. And I would argue that investors are increasingly concerned about pay disparity. There was a recent report that found that the CEO-to-worker pay ratio at fast food companies remained above 1,000-to-1 in 2013. And if you look at a vote I took last week regarding Chipotle, when 77% of shareholders, including myself on behalf of our pension fund, voted against the more than $58 million in compensation that the two CEOs made in 2013.
$58 million
in one year compensation
that's divided between two people for that fast food chain Chipotle?
Yes.
$58 million. What's the McDonald's number?
McDonald's number is less, $9 million pay package, but when you add in incentive bonuses and the like, it's obviously way more than $9 billion. But here's what I have a real problem with as it relates to McDonald's. Obviously, that pay scale is not like Chipotle, but what McDonald's has done as it relates to compensation related to to job to performance, company performance, they've simply moved the goalposts. So they're actually paying their CEO for performing or creating less value for the company. And that's equally egregious. Because if you're going to get a big pay package and then you're told, well, you don't have to do as well as you did the year before, that is not how you get create a sustainable company and grow value to the shareholders, and in our case, our public pension fund.
Is it just symbolic to tie CEO pay to the pay of the people who serve up Happy Meals? I mean, one man's compensation is not going to provide enough money for raises across the board if you cut them by a few million dollars. So is this just symbolic?
Well, the backlash against low pay for fast food workers isn't just about economic justice, although I certainly would argue that we have really, I think we have not done the right thing by these workers. But it's really about economic growth. So you can't grow the economy the way we need to if low-wage workers don't have the money to spend on goods and services. And we're also concerned that income inequality has impacts on the fast food companies themselves. And that's not just us talking, right? McDonald's itself agrees with us that this is a risk. So in McDonald's annual report, the company acknowledges the growing concern over inequality and the company's low wages may in fact negatively affect the company's operations and reputation. Now, I'm not saying this. They're saying this in their annual disclosures. So by extension, it is my fiduciary responsibility to call them out based on their own representation about the fragility of the company.
Well, have you costed out the impact on the pension fund as a shareholder? If they were to give across-the-board raises to McDonald's workers, would it not depress the returns on the investment, if that's the argument you're making? I mean, we could just make the economic justice argument and say we're willing to take a little bit of a hit for that, but would it not depress the returns on the investment if so many McDonald's workers were to get a substantial raise?
We believe that over the long term, if you close the income inequality gap in the company and tie CEO excessive pay to performance, we actually think the company would grow. You'd have a more stable workforce. You'd have better morale. Perhaps those long lines would get a little shorter. And you would establish the company as a company where people feel investing in is good for business. And that is our perspective. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just picking on McDonald's or Chipotle. We have looked at excessive pay packages around the country with many of our investments, and we believe this is very important as a fiduciary to call out executive pay compensation, especially in the fast food business, where low morale and building your workforce is so critical to moving the food that they push every day.
New York City Comptroller Scott Stringer with us. He's going to cast a vote tomorrow as a pension fund representative and therefore a big shareholder in McDonald's, cast a vote on behalf of the New York City pension funds against the excessive pay, as he sees it, of the McDonald's CEO that's being proposed. Could the city pass a $15 an hour fast food minimum wage, which is what they're asking for?
If we get the state to let us do that, you know, so much of our wages, the ability to increase the New York City minimum wage is tied to Albany. You know, I went to Albany and testified and said, basically, look, you know, our cost of living in New York City is 80% higher than Buffalo, 60% higher than Rochester, 50% higher than the city of Albany. And our folks can't cut it on $8 an hour, and that we do need to increase the minimum wage. Look, there's a national movement growing in this country. I've been out at protests every so often to work with Communities for Change and other organizations, Make the Road New York, to say, look, we've got to lift up our people. We've got to pay them a real wage so they can put food on the table, invest in their communities. And this is going to be a critical issue for our economy. You know, as controller, I see things sometimes. I have to see things a little different. You know, I want to see people put food on the table and grow their neighborhoods. That certainly I've always believed in. But now, Brian, this is about growing the economy of New York City. And that's why this campaign is worth it. And that's why we're challenging corporate America to look at ways to build your corporation with your workers, not against your workers.
And, you know, other businesses might argue that they could leave the city for the nearby counties if only the city, if the city imposes a higher minimum wage. But the fast food chains are already everywhere. McDonald's can't move its Bushwick store to Mineola. So maybe it would work if you even try to target to the state legislature just for the fast food chains of a certain size.
I actually think that as it relates to these chains, Chipotle, McDonald's, you know, Burger King, you know, these fast food companies, I mean, they have reaped great profit on the backs of their workforce. These are companies that absolutely need to grow with their workers. And why wouldn't they want to do that? Every successful business model is about making sure employees share in the success of a growing company.
By the way, why have you just came into office, but all the previous controllers allowed pension fund investments in McDonald's at all? You all say you believe in social responsibility guidelines for who to sink these considerable funds into. Why does McDonald's qualify at all, given everything?
Well, you know, we invest in thousands of companies that provide a rate of return. Remember, my job, first and foremost, is to grow the pension fund, hit our actuarial targets. And so there's an investment strategy and an asset allocation. But more to your direct question, I would argue that, yes, there are times when you divest. You know, we divested in gun companies during the struggle in the 80s over apartheid. The New York City Pension Fund took an extraordinary step and divested in companies doing business with South Africa. Here is another strategy that we have to deploy. Sometimes it's better to stay and fight and change policies from within. And that is something that we're doing with fast food restaurants. You know, I'm a shareholder on behalf of the public pension fund. We will cast our vote in public before the shareholders. And that can be very powerful as an organizing tool and as making a statement. If we did not have investments, I couldn't go to the shareholder meeting.
All right, let's finish up with an emerging feature of this show, the soft core lightning round, which means you don't have to answer strictly yes or no, but short questions, short answers, okay?
That's tough. Yes.
What's the most surprising thing you've learned about the city's finances in your first 5 months as controller?
I've learned that we have to be prudent and judicious as to how we look at our budget. There are so many things I want to do for this city, but I have to, I have to be the one to sometimes look at these issues in a cautious way.
So no particular surprising thing that's jumped out about the city's finances?
I've been in government for 21 years, and nothing has surprised me. Surprised me, but it doesn't mean that won't happen in the future.
What's the best and worst thing Mayor de Blasio has done so far in office, according to you?
Well, I'm very excited about his affordable housing plan. I think he understands that we have to make sure that the entrance fee to the city can't be a $1 million condo. And I'm not going to tell you that there's anything that he's done that I think is the worst thing. I actually think that we've got to cut the mayor a little slack here, you know, let him get grounded in terms of his priorities.
All right.
And I want to be helpful.
Will you be attending the New York State Democratic Party convention today and tomorrow?
Yes, I will. I'm very excited about this ticket. Cuomo, Schneiderman, and DiNapoli. These are great, strong Democrats, and I'm going to be out there campaigning for them.
How excited about the governor? If the Working Families Party, which endorsed you as a progressive, decides to run a candidate against Cuomo because of his unprogressive positions on some things like taxes and charter schools, would you be torn over who to endorse?
No, I've endorsed Andrew Cuomo enthusiastically. I served for 13 years in Albany when we couldn't get an on-time budget, when we couldn't, you know, pass marriage equality, when we couldn't look at a whole set of issues. And Andrew Cuomo has been a very strong governor in a difficult place to get things done. And while I certainly can respect us Democrats disagreeing from time to time, there is no doubt that Andrew Cuomo as governor is vital to the interests of the city of New York. When you compare his record to that of the Republicans running, whether it's Cuomo, Schneiderman, or DiNapoli, the choice is clear, and I'm going to argue that everyone should unite today around the entire Democratic ticket.
Quick reaction to the idea that public advocate Letitia James is promoting, that the city managed some kind of private sector pension fund as those disappear from the market economy for private sector workers?
Well, Listen, I think that the public advocate and Bill Samuels and so many people who are looking at this issue, we have to have a discussion about retirement security. The truth is, 45 million people in this country do not have a retirement savings plan. That is frightening. 92% of working households are not prepared to have retirement savings. We have to have a larger conversation about this. There's legislation that's been passed in California that begins to look at these issues. I think this is a conversation that we're going to have at a conference later this month.
Interested, the city may have an appropriate role. And last question, when's the last time you ate at McDonald's?
Well, since I've been married to my wife, who's a vegetarian, never in that time. And I think going up and down to Albany, there were some McDonald's stops, I hate to admit, but that is, I have divested from eating at McDonald's.
Would you divest the city pension fund if they don't do the right thing with pay?
Divestment is a very serious issue that would have to go before the boards. I think we have a real opportunity to stay and fight and hold these companies accountable.
New York City Comptroller Scott Stringer about to vote no tomorrow as a McDonald's shareholder on behalf of the city pension funds, no on the big CEO compensation that's been proposed. Thank you so much.
Good to be back.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, former Navy Secretary and U.S. Senator Jim Webb on his life and times, from fighting in Vietnam to refusing to have his picture taken with President Bush because of the Iraq War, to whether he's going to run for president in 2016. Stay with us.